the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Romans 5:18. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. Have you ever noticed that when you ask or indeed tell somebody not to do something, they almost invariably do it? The Old Testament, the story of Israel's interaction with Yahweh, of their struggle to understand what it meant to be God's people, their struggle with God, for that is what Israel means, is full of episodes where they are specifically told not to do something. Worshipping idols springs to mind, and a few verses later, they are doing it. Adam and Eve, the archetypal humans who can't leave anything alone, even when they've been told not to, told to. In a story, which for Israel in exile, for that is likely when it was written, is the explanation of all their woes, and also the reason why living the Ten Commandments to the Mosaic law, the law of Yahweh, brought reward. Keep covenant, and you will be rewarded. It is very convenient to have others to blame for our own failings. Adam and Eve, who couldn't leave well alone, and, as personified in the Gospel reading, the devil, Satan the tester, the one who tries our resolve, who tempts us to choose the easier way, the underlying theme of today's Gospel. In a passage which is both Trinitarian and incarnational, Matthew tells of God the Son being led into the wilderness, actual or spiritual, by God the Spirit, so that the resolve of God the Father can be tested. What is happening is that Satan is testing God the Father through God the Son, God the incarnate Son, God incarnate, who is of one substance, homoousios, with God the Father and God the Spirit, by offering him things which are already his. Satan is asking the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, if God is sure that he wants to go through with this. Is this the only way that humanity can be saved from itself? Are you absolutely convinced of this? Because if you're not, and you do what I suggest, then you'll still have all the benefits of being God. You can be God without being killed by those you have come to serve. Do you really want to go through with this? There is still time to change your mind. For us and for our salvation, God did go through with it. He didn't change his mind. When he stands before Satan and refuses temptation, we see in Jesus the divine. We see him as the Son of God, the new Israel who will succeed where the old Israel failed. We see the new Moses. We see the one who keeps covenant with God. And we see the sealing of the new covenant. All themes which run through Matthew's Gospel and all themes which we are intended by Matthew to recognize. But rather more subtly, we recognize that Jesus is not only standing as Israel, but also with Israel. We see it because Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son, was fully divine and fully human. Not only was he of one substance, homoousios, with God, he was also of one substance, homoousios, with humanity. He was God through and through, and he was human through and through. He was Emmanuel, God with us, who knew all the fragility and failings inherent in the human condition. At times, especially at this time of year, I am convinced that Jesus knew, with a knowledge that brings absolute certainty, that his ministry would end in his death at the hands of humanity. Humanity for whom the participators in the Passion narrative stand. Humanity whom he had come in order to and would save. And Jesus was human. He could have said no. By becoming human and knowing that fallibility is part of being human, God left open the option that because the salvific act required the incarnation, God as Trinity had to understand human nature before he could teach us about his nature, fallible human nature could prevent the salvation of humanity. Jesus, though, didn't say no. So, in the words of St. Paul, therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. And we know that we are saved, because as St. Paul also wrote, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's also Romans 8, 38, 39. We are now entering Lent. Lent with its purple vestments and characteristic notes of self-examination, penitence, self-denial, study, and almsgiving, which are our preparation for Easter. Lent, when we try to stand with Jesus as he stood and stands with us. Lent, when we look at our lives and our disciplines, when we say sorry and mean it for our failings and flaws. I have no intention of telling you what to do as your Lenten discipline. There are people here today who are much better equipped than I to take on this task. I do, though, draw your attention to our Lent course, which commences this week, and to our collections on Passion Sunday for the Kluwer Initiative, which focuses on modern slavery, and on Easter Day for our Ramp Appeal. But what I shall do is to remind us all not to become too despondent about the failings and frailties we see in ourselves. Jesus of Nazareth was fully human and fully divine. So through the double homoousion of the Incarnation, in the power of the Spirit, God knows we are broken people. So he sent light into the world, because it is through breaks that light enters, and it is through breaks that light shines out. Amen.